This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Hey, it's always a delight to be back at my alma mater. Wow, things are really moving forward since I left town in 2006. I hope that's not a cause and effect relationship. But I want to congratulate President Jones, and he's been such a great personal encouragement to me and to our association, the Association for Biblical Higher Education, of which CIU is a member institution. And I want to congratulate Provost Jim Lanfer and the faculty and staff and students and everyone here who day by day is excelling in your calling to impact the nations with the message of Christ. It's been great to observe the rollout of CIU's new athletic program, something that I advocated for and dreamed about all the 30 years that I was around CIU since my student days and all the days I was a member of the CIU administration. You probably saw the recent CIU Connection magazine. Maybe you didn't see it, but there was a feature there of some pictures of our soccer teams in 1970, 1972 in there. And we used to regularly thrash the University of South Carolina's club team back in those days. I played goalie in the 9-1 and 5-3 team victories that we achieved back in 1970, if my recollection is correct. There's a picture on the screen there. Kind of shabby looking guys, huh? The only USC goal in that 9-1 game came on a penalty kick late in the game that was sort of on a really questionable call. And our center forward, Alan Bossen, was so incensed with the call that he personally took the ball on the next possession and went all the way through the South Carolina defense and scored a goal all by himself. He was that dominating of a player. But probably the most significant memory from that day for me was when our great big hulking fullback, Jim Ness, reacted with such grace and restraint when he was shoved and taunted and cursed by one of the South Carolina players. That's what it really means to win, isn't it? And I trust that kind of winning will always characterize CIU athletics. Go Rams, right? I greet you today on behalf of the more than 190 institutions of biblical higher education stretching from the Canadian Maritimes to Hawaii and from Alaska to Puerto Rico. Scattered across North America, biblical higher educational institutions have diverse histories and ethnicity and doctrinal and denominational affiliations, but our common commitments mark us more deeply and distinctively than our diversity does. We're committed to education that's legitimately post-secondary and academically rigorous, challenging students to develop critical thinking skills and leading them in the formation of a biblically grounded Christian worldview. While we may differ at the periphery and in many particulars, our educational philosophy revolves around a common center. We engage intentionally and pervasively in biblical higher education, education that involves extensive and serious study of the text of God's eternal word, not in a posture of detachment and skepticism, but in a posture of discipleship and submission, seeking to understand the will of God so that we may conform to it, and the plan of God so that we may join Him in bringing about its fulfillment. We're committed to ensuring that the Bible is not only a major subject of our study in our colleges, but also is the major object of study in every course. We engage intentionally and pervasively in transformational higher education, validated not by a life orientation toward self-actualization or self-fulfillment, but rather by a posture of submission and self-denial, living out kingdom values and gospel priorities before a watching world. We engage intentionally and pervasively in experiential higher education, facilitating hands-on ministry, service learning, and intercultural study opportunities, experiences that help students discover and develop their unique God-given gifts, passions, and sense of calling, and to exercise and grow the life, ministry, and leadership skills required for passionate and proficient service. And we engage intentionally and pervasively in missional higher education. We maintain that an authentically biblical worldview compels all believers, regardless of present or future occupation, to understand their personal vocation within the context of history's destiny, the day when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Well, enough about ABHE. I realize that your attention span is somewhat limited just before the Thanksgiving holiday, so allow me to hasten to ask you briefly to consider the following exhortation from the text of God's holy word from the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Should be on the screen in front of you. Listen, only be careful and watch yourselves so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. I'm in the stage of life where jokes about memory loss seem more and more amusing. I guess because I can identify with them more. I heard about Sam and Vivian. They were both widowed, and they met each other at a retirement village. They found joy in one another's companionship, and a romance ensued. One day, Sam mustered the courage and popped the question, "Vivian, will you marry me?" Later that day, Vivian received a telephone call from Sam. "Vivian," he said, "I'm embarrassed to say this, but I think I made you an offer of marriage this morning. For the life of me, however, I can't remember whether you accepted." "Oh, Sam," said Vivian, "I'm so glad you called. I've been thinking all day. I received a marriage proposal this morning, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember who it was that asked." Recently, I came across some actual answers that students gave to exam questions where they had clearly forgotten what they were taught. Listen to these. What is hard water? Answer, ice. Question, what is a nitrate? Answer, cheaper than a day rate. Question, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? Answer, at the bottom. Question, what is a fibula? Answer, a little lie. Question, what is a vibration? Answer, there are good vibrations and bad vibrations. Good vibrations were discovered in the 60s. Question, where was Hadrian's Wall built? Answer, around Hadrian's Garden. And finally, question, name one of the early Romans' greatest achievements. Answer, learning to speak Latin. I took Latin in high school. We used to say, Latin is a dead language, as dead can be. It killed the ancient Romans, and now it's killing me. Well, have a good laugh. But here's the kicker. I have some bad news for you today. For you students who have sat through hundreds of class hours and devoted hundreds of hours to library and online research, written papers, suffered through scores of examinations, you are going to forget most of it. Dare I say, you have already forgotten most of it. Now, perhaps you're thinking, I want my money back. But this news should not surprise you if you're at all aware of research about teaching and learning. You probably know these statistics. We recall about 10% of what we read, about 20% of what we hear, about 30% of what we see, about 50% of what we see and hear, about 70% of what we discussed with others, and about 80% of what we experienced personally. Now, I'm guessing that you CIU students will retain more than the average college student because you've been taught by faculty who know these principles and design learning experiences according to a transformational rather than a transmissional model. I hope you recognize it's no accident that biblical higher education is designed to be intentionally and pervasively transformational and experiential for this very reason. I trust you'll discover over the years that your recall of what you learned through your time at CIU remains vivid and potent. Nevertheless, I can say on the basis of voluminous research, and more importantly, on the authority of Scripture, every force of nature and of the spiritual realm will conspire to make you forget, especially to make you forget what you most need to remember. Back to our text. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. You may remember from your Bible survey courses that these remarks uttered by Moses occur at the end of a 40-year period of wilderness wandering, imposed on an entire generation of people who may have set the world record for spiritual amnesia. You know the story. Following the stupendous events leading to the Israelite exodus from the most advanced and powerful nation on earth, Egypt, Moses is called by God to the summit of Mount Sinai, where he receives the laws by which God's covenant people may flourish morally and socially and may become the marvel and envy of all nations, a beacon of true enlightenment, prosperity, liberty, and justice for all. In the wake of miraculous plagues, Red Sea parting, streams in the desert, and food from the ground in the skies, the Israelites get restless after waiting about a month while Moses is on the mountaintop. Concluding that this Yahweh God appears reluctant to do their bidding and indulge their impatience, they decide to go the designer God route, otherwise known as idolatry. Aaron caves to their complaining, and they make a golden calf mascot God and create their own Woodstock-like happening. Why? They forgot the meaning of what they heard and experienced. So that generation paid a heavy price. They all died off in the wilderness, demoralized, disenfranchised, destitute, forbidden to enter the promised land. Now, a new generation stands before Moses as they stand at the threshold of entering into all the beauty and bounty God had promised. I invite you to notice how this central theme of forgetfulness is in the book of Deuteronomy. Three times in chapter 4 alone, in verses 9 and 23 and 31, and at least nine times throughout the entire discourse that makes up the book of Deuteronomy, Moses exhorts this young generation, do not forget. You could easily identify this as the theme of the entire book. My friends, this exhortation applies to us, does it not? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Notice the suggestion of the text that forgetting is a passive phenomenon. Want to forget what God has taught you, what you've experienced with Him? No need to do anything. You will forget. Every dynamic within your heart and your world will collaborate to make you forget. What you have learned will inexorably fade from your memory. You may not wish it or intend it, but it will happen. Take it to the bank. You have God's word on it. My pastor likes to say that our hearts are idol factories. An idol is anything to which our hearts look for significance, sustenance, security, or success, apart from the only one who can truly and purely deliver those things to us, our Heavenly Father. You don't have to intend to get into idolatry. Leave your heart unguarded, and your heart will manufacture idols like the fastest assembly line in existence. So if you want to keep the memory of what you've learned about God's nature, His commitment to you, His providential care for you, His plans for you, His vision for the world, you're going to have to be proactive rather than passive. Look at the text. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Did you notice the text cites two ways in which you can be proactive rather than passive so that you will not allow what you've learned of the living God to fade from your memory? Two things, Moses says. Watch yourselves and teach the next generation. This word watch may be more accurately rendered keep watch, set a guard over your soul. To remember and rehearse what the Lord has done for you is one of the most fruitful spiritual disciplines you can exercise. May I encourage you to find a means of doing that? Warren Hoffman served as a lay leader of my church youth group during my middle school years, and I vividly remember how he told us over and over again that he and his wife had kept a ledger book in which they recorded prayers and answers to prayers over more than 30 years of marriage. Warren Hoffman had found a way to be proactive rather than passive. When I assumed the leadership of ABHE 5 years ago, I decided to do something similar. An official appendix to our ABHE planning document is what we call the God Chronicles. At our annual staff retreat earlier this year, we spent some time reviewing and updating this record, now more than 50 major instances in which the evidence of God's commitment to and engagement with our team's lives and work together has been unmistakable. I can't tell you how much the experience of the God Chronicles means to me in times of temptation and testing. It's not magic. It's just one way of being proactive rather than passive, keeping watch over my heart. The band demonstrated it this morning in singing us a song of remembrance. May I urge you to take up this discipline? You might follow Warren Hoffman's pattern. You might use Facebook, start a blog, create art, compose music. Just find a way to be proactive, lest you forget what God has taught you. Earlier, I quoted some statistics about memory retention. We recall about 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, and so on. I left out one statistic. We recall 95% of what we teach to someone else. Surprise, surprise, the Bible seems to offer some insight about learning. If you want to remember something vividly and permanently, teach it to the next generation. I don't know what occupations different ones of you will take up as you move out from CIU. The truth is, you're probably going to see several career changes, and all kinds of things are going to happen not according to your plan over the next few decades. But regardless of your occupation, I think there's biblical warrant to insist that a central aspect of your vocation must be an intentional, lifelong pattern of entrusting what God has taught you to another generation. For the majority of those of you who start families, there's no more important aspect of parenting than telling your children about your experiences of the ways of God. God's work needs to become part of your family story, and that story needs to be commemorated. My sister, Eleni McWilliams, and her husband, Kevin, are here this morning. They work here at CIU. When our children were younger, we vacationed several times with them up in the mountains. We had a blast hiking and playing games and fishing. I think our record was over 100 small brim. About 20 small brim. We caught five times each. But anyway, we were fishing in a mountain pond using pieces of soft taco for bait. Remember Kevin and Laney? Or at the beach, swimming, catching fish, eating lobster. One way we made memories of those vacations was for my brother-in-law and me to compose a song that commemorated some aspect of our time together. You know, those silly little songs are deeply embedded in our adult children's memories, a permanent part of our family lore. You'll forgive me if I don't have time to sing you the song we wrote about flatulence, or the one called Any Crustacean Will Do. That would be for another day. The point is, we were proactive about creating ways to remember our experiences. During those vacations, we also had family devotions together, teaching our children the ways of God and rehearsing our God stories in one another's presence. Teaching the next generation begins in your home with your children. Want to avoid spiritual amnesia that leads to idolatry in all its subtleties and to moral malaise? Revisit your personal God story and retell it at every opportunity. Do it in your home, your church, your workplace, your community. You don't need to preach. Just share your story. It will do your soul as much good as anyone else who hears. My dear CIU friends, forgetting is inevitable. You've already forgotten many of the things you've heard even this semester at CIU. Not to worry, whether you've understood it or not, your education was never intended a means by which you could expand your information warehousing capacity. It's been designed to help you learn how to learn and help you grow through transformational learning experiences. But today I want to ask you, especially as we approach Thanksgiving weekend, have you been recording your God story? It's not too late to start that record. Have you been telling your God story? I urge you to make this one of the central activities of your life. Wouldn't it just be the right occasion if you took some time this week, Thanksgiving week, to sit down and begin that record and establish for yourself and your family, either now or in the future, some kind of a ritual of remembrance? Why don't you set aside some time this week to establish or renew the ways in which you'll commit yourself to the pattern of grateful remembrance? By making a record of God's working in your life and by finding ways of telling the story of God's faithfulness to others. Here's the reward of grace. To the extent that you're proactive rather than passive, and with respect to this inexorable pull to forget, you'll be free to worship the one true God and to enjoy the blessings of life in Him all the days of your life. Hear the word of the Lord. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Let's pray. Our dear Father, I can testify in front of my brothers and sisters how appallingly forgetful I am of your goodness and of your truth. So I pray that today you would help my brothers and sisters to renew or establish for the first time rituals of remembrance, patterns by which they cement in their hearts and minds the greatness and goodness of God in their personal stories. To that end, we ask for your Spirit to work freely in our hearts, and we commit one another to your grace and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.